Hello everyone and welcome to Words on a Wedding, the podcast that sees me, your host Annie Vischer, interview my wonderful guests about their big day. Together we talk all things proposals, planning, the ceremony, the reception, the honeymoon and beyond. No wedding related stone is left unturned. So whether you're planning your own wedding, you simply love wedding chat, or like me, you're a newlywed who just can't let it go, hit subscribe on Words on a Wedding, play on the episode and get stuck in. Hi guys, and welcome to a very special episode that is actually here by popular demand, I have to say. And the man, the myth, the legend, Oliver Bilson, my husband, is joining us for this episode, aren't you?
I am. Welcome to Words on a Wedding. Talk through proposals, the planning, the ceremony, the reception, the honeymoon, and beyond.
Oh,
I'm reading this off cue, so I'll stop. So should we start with the first question?
Oh, go for it.
Here we go.
Are you excited to be here?
Yeah. Nervous. Nervous,
but
excited.
Nervous?
Drunk lots of wine in preparation.
Oh my God. We're literally just sitting in our sitting room, so it's not the most intimidating environment, I have to say.
Okay. Talk me through the proposal.
Oh, business. The proposal. Okay, so... Oh, God, how long was this ago? We've got 2 years now. We got married last year.
September 21.
Yes, because we got married September 22, that's right. So the proposal was actually in Corfu. We were going away for a holiday that we'd been on a few times before at the exact same time of the year. And... we were quite lucky because it was, you know, sort of getting towards the end of the pandemic and we'd actually been able to get away for this holiday through those little windows they opened up where you could travel. So it had become a really special place. It was the first place we went together as a couple as well, way back when. Anyway, so we had... we'd gone there. It was the very first day because I think you just wanted to enjoy your holiday, right?
Yeah, just wanted to get it over and done with and enjoy the rest of the holiday after that.
So there's this little kind of nook on the beach where we get a couple of sun loungers and just read. And I think we'd both got into our books by the end of the plane journey. And then there's another bit further along the coastal path where, and this sounds sickeningly romantic, but... we had a couple of times got up to watch the sunrise over Albania on this ledge that's quite far up the coastal path. And when I was in the middle of a very good chapter, Oliver said, oh, I'm going to see if there's anybody on our ledge because that would make a nice kind of reading spot. And I was like, okay, quite comfy here, but don't worry about it. Started to pack my things away. And then he said, no, you chill here. I will go and check whether it's free first. And if it is, I'll message you and then you can come up. And yeah, so I let him sort of toddle on up the coastal path and then he...
well, I had to sneak back to the shop to get some champagne and get the ring and sneak back past you with the tote bag with everything hidden in it. You carry on.
Which wasn't that hard because anytime we go anywhere, when we're on that holiday, we bring like two tote bags crammed with stuff, don't we? So it wasn't that hard to sneak that past me. And then, so I was sort of reading away, got a message from him. Yeah, it's clear, come on up. This was quite a bit after, I have to say as well. And packing my stuff up, started to get on my way and another text came through and it said, follow your heart. And the heart was an emoji. And I have to say at this point, my imagination or my kind of gut instinct started to run wild and I definitely knew. I knew so much so that I was filming my walk up, thinking that you were just going to be on one knee when I turned around and it'd make a really good reel.
It's so disappointing that everyone else you've interviewed had no idea.
Not everyone.
And then it came to me and you knew straight away.
Oh, but we talked about it.
Okay.
We talked about, like, the last time we were there, we talked about getting engaged and we did, like, the week after we'd got back from the... kind of the 2020 trip to Corfu, right? Not the week after, a few weeks after. It was a really rainy autumnal day and we didn't know what to do. And you were like, let's go to Hatton Garden. And I thought, yes, that works for me. So we did just this really fun trip around Hatton Garden, trying on loads of rings. So it definitely didn't come out of
that. Was that definitely me that suggested that?
100%. Are you joking. I would never suggest that. I was secure, but I wasn't that secure. Can you imagine?
I feel like you might have suggested that.
Absolutely. There is in no world would I have suggested that.
I think you might need to do a little poll on this one.
Oh my goodness. Are you joking?
I don't remember asking.
100% it was your idea. There was no way. I was very secure and sort of very, very happy in the relationship. But even the thought of you then hopping on one of your guys' WhatsApp groups and going, oh my God, lads, never guess what she's asked me to do now. I wouldn't have been able to look them in the eye. There is literally no way I would have risked that sort of situation. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Oh my goodness.
Anyway, carry on with the story.
Anyway, it was definitely your idea. And anyway, it was a really great day. But that is proof, case in point, that it didn't come out of left field, and that's totally fine. But I think I've had a range of guests on the podcast, and for some people it has been a total surprise, and other people were kind of more aware. So I think it's a real mixed bag. And
you don't love a surprise, though.
I don't love a surprise. And I'm really bad at hiding it. I think it's because I'm so bad at hiding it if I'm just immediately kind of taken aback and not loving the surprise. And I'm not generous enough with my feelings to hide it if I've got better.
I think that's pretty accurate statement, yeah.
I've got a lot better.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'd walked up, filming this walk up the bloody coastal path, and you did not disappoint because he'd found the ledge and he'd made this huge heart out of driftwood, which is very romantic and looked so beautiful. And then he said, I've made you a heart. And then he said his camera was sort of propped up on a little rock on selfie mode. And he said, come have a selfie by the heart. And I thought, yes, I will have a selfie. And then it did go through my mind at that point that if I was way off base at this point, what the hell is he doing with a massive, I mean, it's cute, but, and then, so there was me. There was some form of a layer of self-protection that must have been that was kind of guarding myself and saying, maybe it isn't, maybe it isn't.
Just to interject, that's not the same ledge that we watched the sunrise from.
Is it not?
The ledge that we watched the sunrise from is that time where I dropped my phone in the puddle. In the sea? No, not in the sea, in like a little puddle.
In the rock pool.
Because I got it back, yeah.
The rock pool, the other one, sea.
Yeah, the other one is where we had, the first year we went, we had a picture taken together. Do you remember that picture we've got in a frame? That's where I proposed to you. So you've been telling everyone the story. It's not the same. I mean,
oh my God.
You need to send like a link on Google Maps or something. There's two different places.
I don't think people care that.
No, nobody cares, but sorry,
no,
anyway.
No, I have been telling everybody it's the ledge we watched the sunrise over.
Yeah, it's not that ledge.
Oh shit.
Anyway, carry on.
Oh, for God's sake. Okay,
it's not my fault.
It's a very nice ledge. And what a ledge, eh? No? Oh, okay. Well, that fell very flat. anyway, moving on. Got down on one knee. And the fact that I knew, or thought I knew, definitely didn't take away from the kind of this is happening, oh my God, it's happening moment for sure. As you can see on the reel that eventually went out. And yeah, it was so nice. And I think you were monstrously relieved. I don't know why you didn't think I would say yes.
It's not that. The biggest thing was that, because it's during COVID, like since the first time we went to Corfu together, I wanted to propose there.
Oh.
But then, because it was that weird time in COVID, I wasn't sure whether we'd be able to go out that year. And the ring was burning a hole in my pocket because I'd had it for about 6 months. So... as soon as we got there, I just wanted to get rid of it and give you the ring and have it out of my possession and it'd be your responsibility. So I had a decent feeling you'd say yes, but it wasn't actually... So we arrived in the evening and then there's the next day that I did it. So it wasn't the first day we arrived. But so anyway, yeah, you said yes?
I said yes. And then popped the champagne, called parents and siblings, and then we had the next couple of days just chilling and really enjoying it and having that news to ourselves pretty much, and then made the calls to everyone over the next few days. And it was just a really beautiful holiday doing that. And I know we went to a few restaurants and said, we've just got engaged. And they were like, congratulations. And what would you like for starters? So I think it must happen a lot around there. But yeah, no, it was a gorgeous holiday, beautiful, beautiful proposal, and made that holiday and that area of Corfu even more special to us, which was really nice. Did you like it?
It was lovely, yeah. Just conscious I've got
a bunch more questions.
A bunch more questions I've got written out in front of me.
Chill out.
What vision did you have of the wedding?
That's a tough one because I did have a great many Pinterest boards. So there were many, many visions going on. But at the same time, I don't think the hardest part was the venue, because I think we'd both talked about France, hadn't we? Because we'd been to a couple of weddings in France that were beautiful, and that was the vibe that we really liked. But then you take into account the pandemic. And I remember I talked to Georgie Lure about this on an earlier episode, and she said the same thing, that even though we were kind of easing out of the pandemic at that point, the thought of having a year's worth of will we, won't we, over whether we'd actually make it to a venue and all the kind of obstacles you might still encounter post-pandemic, planning a wedding abroad, kind of put us off. But then it was a case of, well, now what? And I think we went straight into looking at Cotswolds venues, didn't we? And all of them felt like kind of trying to walk in somebody else's shoes. They just weren't very us. And there's beautiful, beautiful venues. And actually the ones that I found that were more our style had a kind of limit of about 80 people, and we were definitely going to go way over that. So I was a bit lost, and I feel like you were halfway on that journey with me, but you were kind of waiting until I'd hit on somewhere that I was happy with, but that you could then sign off. Would you say that was the case?
Yeah, I remember doing a video tour of a venue.
Yeah.
And it's just very dead. There's no atmosphere or anything. And I don't know how it came about, but as soon as we found Middleton Lodge, both of us instantly knew it was the place that we wanted to get married. So it's nice. I didn't think I'd have that reaction. But once we arrived there, looked around, certainly from my side, I knew it was the place for me. And you seem to agree.
I did. I hit on Middleton Lodge because I was scrolling Instagram and thought, oh, this place looks beautiful. Didn't realise it was in Yorkshire. And that I'm from Yorkshire. So that kind of sealed the deal on a kind of purely desktop level. And then I was next to a colleague who said, oh, you know, a PR had contacted me about that place. Here's the details. And so within sort of 10 seconds, I was messaging the representative for that venue. And this was probably only a few weeks after we got engaged, because we were due to be back in Yorkshire that weekend to see my parents for the first time after we'd been engaged to celebrate. And Laura, the PR, said, oh, I'm actually there this weekend, so I could take you around. And it just so happened that we were all there. And it was very much a case of, yes, we can definitely come if you're willing to host my entire family. And so while we were up in Yorkshire celebrating our engagement, we did our first in real life venue viewing. And they'd made a kind of one of these naked cakes for us to celebrate, and we ended up cutting the cake. Just everybody loved it. It was a beautiful day in late September, so we were actually seeing it in the sort of season that we would have been getting married. They had the exact date that we wanted free, and so it was a very much a stars aligning sort of situation. And for me at that point, and I think for you and certainly my parents as well, there was no other venue to talk about. I mean, there wasn't, because we booked it that day.
Yeah. And I ended up with three best men, technically. So I texted one of them, checked he was available. Yeah. Texted the second one. So that was Jonathan. Jonathan was available straight away. Texted Hugo.
This is while we're at the venue signing off the venue. Date.
And we'd been for beers a couple of weeks before. And we'd ruled out the weeks we couldn't do in September, because I think we knew it was going to be in September. So yeah, we ruled out the weeks we couldn't do in September, and came down to it, perfect. Texted him being like, it's the 17th of September. And he texts back saying, sorry, I can't make it. I'm at another wedding.
This is Hugo.
So yeah, that was an interesting conversation. But we'll come back to it. He made it in the end.
We'll come back to that story because that's an amazing story and it actually worked out so, so well.
I ended up with three, which was what I always wanted.
Excessive.
It's not excessive. It's just the right number of best men.
Just the right number.
Next question is, how is the planning and any particular memories that stand out along the way?
Well, in terms of being collaborative over planning, you were very much the Excel sheet in human form, weren't you? Mm. I would say. And I was everything else.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah?
I tried and shot down quite a few times.
Oh, excuse me. When?
I can't think of the specifics.
No, okay. I really don't think I shot you down about anything. It's not like you came to me saying, we must have these napkin rings. And I said, no.
No, I think that's fair.
The music we decided on together.
It took a bit of persuading for some of the songs. The entrance song. Actually, no,
that was your thing. That's what you chose.
I know I chose it, but it took a bit of persuading for you.
No, I just wasn't sure. That was your thing. That was the thing that you had free reign over.
That one thing.
Come on, what did you choose?
Feeling Good by Muse.
Mm, that was a very good choice.
I think it just kind of worked with us coming in.
Doom, 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 doom.
What else did doom. I try and have? I had no idea about flowers or anything to do with them. So I think I was out of it on that one.
To be fair, I didn't give loads of guidance over flowers. What happened with the flowers was somebody I knew who'd been looking at Middleton Lodge as a wedding venue said I was going to book this venue and I was going to book this floral designer because she and her company do that venue sort of every other weekend. And I went onto the company's Instagram page and knew immediately that they were very much on the same wavelength as me in terms of floral design, with it looking very sort of organic, not too done. It was very stylish and tasteful. Yeah. So because of that, I really didn't go in there saying, but it was wedding and events floral design, by the way. And I didn't go in there saying, I want this flower and this flower and this flower in my bouquet. I want this flower and this flower and this flower down the center of the tables. I want this. I think what we did was worked through the sort of roster of what wedding and events floral design offered and talked through the possibilities. And I very much said, I would love for the bridesmaids to have baby's breath, sort of sprays, not too sculpted. And then I'd love for there to be white roses in my bouquet. And beyond that, when it comes to choosing the flowers, you very much do you, because I was so willing to hand over all that control to her, because she's the pro. I don't know this business. I don't have the confidence to say, dictate every single flower and know that it's going to look exactly the way I want it to. And I was able to bring up a few kind of references from her Instagram page and say, I love this, I love this, I love this. Can we have something like this? And what she did on the day was absolutely incredible. And because I'd handed over that control on the morning of the wedding, I had no desire to go down to the main reception area at the Fig House to have a look at what was going on. I was really lucky in that the wedding and events floral design team were there first thing, along with Olivia Chapman from 10 Story Stationery, who was so kind and came in person to lay out all the stationery. And so I knew that it was going to look amazing. And so I wasn't stressed at all about how it was going to look. And I think that's a huge part, choosing suppliers that will do the job. You know they'll do the job you want and do it far better than you could ever imagine, because it takes so much stress out of the day. So the first time I saw it was when we came back from the church, champagne in hand, and walked into the Fig House and had that first look of everything laid out. And I felt like a guest at our wedding, which was beautiful.
Yeah, looking at it, it looked amazing, but I don't really have a... I couldn't picture what it was going to look like before with flowers, so it did end up looking amazing.
Well, you weren't fussed about flowers at the beginning, were you? You were like, do we need flowers? And I spluttered out my tea.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, I mean, it. Yeah.
That was the one thing you said afterwards, that, okay, now I get it.
Yeah, I can admit that.
Do you get it now?
Yeah, I get it now. And then, trying to think of the other points... We both agree on the music.
100%.
I can't remember what agency we went through, but we had a guy called...
High Row Music Events,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, a guy called Danny Charles, who was
so
amazing.
Good. The Fig House at Middleton Lodge has this beautiful walled garden that it extends out onto. And so when you're lucky with the weather, all your guests will be milling around, having champagne and canapes. And we really wanted somebody to be out at that point playing something acoustic, lots of different covers and singing. And he was incredible. And I think we'd gone through High Row Music Events or High Row Events and gone through their sort of roster of artists. And there was a video of Danny playing in that exact setup. And we really loved his work. And everybody commented on Danny on the day. And I think your godmother, Fee, loved the music, but she wasn't close to him. And so she got out her phone and tried to Shazam him. And it wouldn't work. So then she followed the sound and came up to Danny and said, "Oh, you're a person. I tried to Shazam you." And he said, "That's literally the best compliment you could ever give me," which I love.
Yeah. So, yeah, it all worked out in the end. It's quite hard to see how it's all going to come together. And you don't really know until the day, but it all worked out perfectly. I'm not sure how much advice I can give on planning. I did bits, but I definitely wasn't the driving force of the planning.
Like I said, you were the Excel doc. So when I walked in saying, "Oh my God, we must have this firework display to this track," you said, "No, we must not." You either send your dress back and we have the fireworks or no. I do have to give a shout out to AG Events as well, who did our DJ set. That was amazing.
But on the topic of your dress, how did you hit on your dress?
Well, I hit on my dress a year before I got engaged. Shock horror.
What, you tried it on before you got engaged?
No, I obviously haven't tried it on. But I had seen the dress on Instagram and I think it was a video of it or an image anyway. I DM'd it straight to Camilla, who was one of my bridesmaids. Yeah, and I still have a screenshot of that message. I sent her that and said, "This is the dress," with an exclamation mark. And I kind of ended up indirectly stalking it like an obsessive ex for about a year. And then we got engaged and locked down the venue the next month. And then it was time to start looking for the dress. And so I knew, everybody told me, you never go for the dress you think you're going to go for. You always go for something completely different. So I was really prepared for that. But I did know that I had to get this dress out of my system. And so I looked into sort of which stores sold this dress. And there was a wedding shop in Ilkley in Yorkshire, not that far away from where my parents live, the Isle at Ilkley, although I believe they've got a new studio now. So I'll clarify that later. And I arranged my first wedding dress kind of shopping visit with my mum, my sister and my auntie in Ilkley. So we went there and I tried that dress on along with, must have been 7 other dresses. So I really got into all the different cuts, the different silhouettes, the different materials. And I honestly thought that I wouldn't find my dress that day, but at least I'd have walked away knowing that it wasn't the one that I'd stalked for a year. But it was, it definitely was. There was no getting away from it. I paid half on the day. We went to Betty's, any fellow Yorkshire people who are worshippers of the institution that is Betty's. We went and had roast cheese straight after to celebrate. And yeah, I did it. And I was kind of like, oh God, I'd prepared myself for months of nipping through all the London bridal boutiques, champagne in hand with my friends, trying them all on and having a whale of time. But nope. I was very efficient in that respect, and that was definitely the dress. And I never had a moment where I thought, oh gosh, is this the dress?
I think that champagne thing's a myth, because I went to, my friend Jess got married a few years ago, and she invited me to one of the fittings. And I was expecting it to be this sort of Hollywood thing where they give you champagne and you sit there in a comfortable place. I didn't get offered anything. I don't think I even got offered a glass of water. I just sat there and she tried on various dresses and that was it.
Oh, did Jess get offered champagne, at least?
I can't remember. It was quite a long time.
Well, you're not the important one. You don't need the champagne.
I'm sat there watching, like, every film I've seen, everyone gets offered champagne. I just sat there in like a relatively uncomfortable chair.
Oh my gosh.
You're
such a bridal Scrooge.
I thought I'd raise that. For anyone who's going out, make sure you request champagne because I didn't get any.
I don't think you can request it.
Well.
I don't know.
Okay.
But that was the dress. So the dress was by a designer called Alina Lina, and it's their Armeria gown, I believe. And I really loved it. I think because I was trying to dissect this, why I loved that particular dress and why it had me at hello. And one of the reasons was that I'm obsessed with the Grace Kelly movie To Catch a Thief. And in it, she has the most beautiful dress. And it was not by, it was designed by somebody at the studio who did a lot of the films, Paramount, I think. But it is the most beautiful, it's strapless white, and there's lots of layers that just move with her and her body, and it's obviously boned, so you get that hourglass shape. And I loved that dress, so that was always at the back of my mind. And the other thing is that I'm a real period drama freak. Anybody who knows me will know that's true. And when you've watched countless ones and read countless Georgette Heyer novels, you have this vision of, it sounds weird to say, but the undergarments of those big corseted dresses are sometimes the most romantic thing about them. Just all white with that boning sort of clear to see and quite geometrically shaped. And I felt like that came across in the bodice. And I love a Bardot neckline as well. It was off the shoulder, but had those floaty sleeves. So I think I was trying to put that together. And I think that's why I was so drawn to it. And I love, 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 love it. I really love it. I love the way the light moved through the kind of sheer layers of fabric. It fitted perfectly. I think I had one fitting where it got taken up at the front and that's it. I love my dress and I kept everything else quite simple.
I loved it too.
That's good.
Yeah.
Did you? Was it what you thought it was going to be?
No.
No. What did you? Because you did say to me in the lead up, you said, "I'm pretty sure I know what you're going to wear."
I didn't think you'd have sleeves.
Didn't think you'd have sleeves. What did you think? Talk me through what you thought I was going to be.
I don't know if I can because I've seen it now, so I don't know if I can remember what I thought you'd have. But
you can do this.
I don't know. I think most of it was pretty similar. I don't know how to describe it, like the roughly sleeve things. I didn't think there'd be that, but I thought it'd be sleeveless.
It could have been sleeveless. What else?
I genuinely don't remember. Like, because I've seen the dress now, I can't remember what I thought it'd be before. And I loved it. And I love the outfit change and everything as well. So.
Oh, yeah. So later I got into, what did I get into? A jumpsuit, very 70s, kind of slashed neckline, sort of down to my, not quite to my navel, but down, but it was very sort of like it didn't reveal too much. But, and it was very long sleeved, long legged, wide sleeved, white and covered in sequins. It was really weighty. I loved that. That was after the first dance. I changed into that. I got that quite early as well. I really loved that. That was very, I'm obsessively watching Daisy Jones and the Six at the minute, and it was very that vibe. So I'm really glad I did that. I don't think I'll regret that.
So I feel like this next question is a question for you.
Oh.
But I might answer first. So talk me through your hair and your makeup.
Oh.
But I'll talk you through, can I talk you through my hair?
Oh God, you can, because it was a big moment, right?
Yeah, so my usher, Tommy Cracknell, Richard Ward. Creative director of Richard Ward Salon did my hair. I'm sure Annie will put some pictures up. So all credit goes to him.
Do you want to talk us through the hairstyle and how you landed on that look?
I was just trying to pitch it out there to see if I get a few free beers off him. So I think that's the
end of my description.
I don't know. I always go to him.
I know. The look. Like you are, you know, loyal to Mr. Cracknell, but
I don't know. He knows what to do. I don't know what to ask him for.
This is true, actually. You do just, Alls just goes, rocks up, beer in hand, sits in the chair, and Tommy works his magic while they yabber on. And then he walks out with just a cracking lid, to be honest. So what more can you ask for?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And then he had I haven't done male grooming for this podcast. Like, what else do I talk about? So you had, now I'm switching it, so I'm interviewing you. talk me through the stubble length. You did actually calculate this. To be fair, you had a proper schedule going on where you trialed it like over a few kind of, and you were like, okay, I do like a number one
I think it was grade two all over, but 3 days before. So it sort of grew out quite nice.
Wait, 3 days after the grade two shave?
Yeah, it's not a shave, it's like an electric razor, but
sorry.
We got married 3 days, like 2 or 3 days afterwards. So I did it a couple of days before. I did it at your parents' house, I think.
Okay, so that would have been
like 2 days before
Thursday, Wednesday. Yeah, okay. So Ollie's stubble, guys, was a grade two plus 2 to 3 days.
I'd say so, yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. And your scent?
My scent was a mixture. You might have to help me here. My scent was Jo Malone. So we went and did a scent day.
We went and did the wedding scenting experience in store at the Sloane Square Jo Malone store.
So the main part,
Jo Malone London.
Yeah, so the main part was oud and bergamot.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll have to remind me what the other part was.
Wood, sage and sea salt.
Yeah.
Spirit those on. Do you get taken straight back to the wedding when you smell them?
Yeah, the oud and bergamot one definitely takes me back. And we're doing this podcast with a mini candle of...
Oh, yeah, we are.
Pomegranate Noir, which you can talk through the wedding setup.
So Jo Malone London was super, super kind and gifted me the candles to scent the church with. And so the church was scented with Pomegranate Noir candles. And I didn't know how much, to what degree they'd fill the space. But as soon as I walked in down the aisle, I was hit with a wall of that scent.
That was like the biggest request from Annie, was that I light those an hour before the wedding. So I think my brother Ben went around and lit the candles an hour beforehand just to make sure that it was the perfect level for when Annie arrived an hour later plus
for the guests, sorry.
For Annie an hour and a half later.
Oh yeah, I was half an hour late, but I didn't realise it because, okay, this is a good point. This is where I get into the hair and makeup, right? Kind of.
Yeah.
So hair and makeup, I knew the look I wanted because the amount of times I'd heard, don't do anything wildly different, do you, but with a professional version of what you do on the daily to make yourself look like, feel, to make yourself feel really great. And my mainstay is a brown smoky eye. I like pink tones on my cheeks and on my lips, and otherwise for it to look quite natural. And then I like my head down and wavy. So that's what we did. So I had the incredible Dom Seeley, who came with a kind of legion of Color Wow hair products in his big red case. Anybody who's worked with Dom will know about his big red case. And he used those, and the kind of brief was sort of voluminous waves that would hold but not look too done. And he is the king of those, I have to say. So he styled those in. We had a trial in London probably a month beforehand, and I had to do that trial and then send him pictures of how the hair was wearing hours on, and it stayed for so long and it was still there pretty much in the morning. The other thing he did, I've got very long hair naturally, but I had hair extensions in, clip-in hair extensions, and the fact that it was to add body, not length, because the clip-in ones have obviously the quite bulky top, which is great because it adds that scaffolding you need right at the root. And that's what gives you the volume that lasts all day. So that was a great trick from him. And then I had the amazing Becca Hunton, who took charge of all the bridesmaids' hair and did the most incredible job and was a dream to have around in the morning as well. I had on makeup the incredible Amy Conway, who I love, who I've known for quite a while. She did my makeup. We had a trial in London to go through the sort of different products and the different tones, but she got it spot on straight away. And yeah, like I said, that was brown smoky eye, kind of rosy red lip, rosy red, rosy pink lip, rosy cheeks, lit from within, everything you want from a kind of glammed up version of you kind of makeup for the day. And Kate Ryan came with her assisting and did all my bridesmaids and my mum's makeup. Actually, my mum's makeup, Amy did. And my mum was such a huge fan of Amy and her work. And she felt great on the day, which was a huge plus for me as well. And in charge of lashes was the incredible Eddie London, who I've been going to for years. And she does, much like Tommy, I just lie back, talk to her. I don't even think about briefing her on what to do because she always does the exact level of thickness, length, curl, everything. And they just make me feel so pretty instantly.
Talk me through your wedding day from the morning of to the morning after, where, when,
oh gosh,
the style, any memories that stand out. Dane, is this question for me or for you?
Yeah, do you want to start this off?
Well, I woke up in a panic because I thought I'd lost one of my best men's watch. So I thought I'd lost Jonathan's watch. So I was a bit scared and I wouldn't say hungover. I didn't drink that much the night before. I texted Tommy to come down for paracetamol. So he came down, gave me some paracetamol.
Oh, I wasn't hungover, but I messaged Tommy to come down and bring paracetamol.
It's preemptive paracetamol.
Preemptive, right.
And we watched Harry Potter. And then my other best man, Kit, came in. And then slowly everyone joined. My brother came, brother-in-law came across, Chris. And then, yeah, it's nice. I get quite like, I would have been quite freaked out if everyone arrived at the same time. So it's quite nice that slowly everyone joined. We had a few drinks and got ready. And then, yeah, made our way across to the wedding on time.
Oh, God, presumably that's so the same as yours. No, so much more simple than my morning.
I had a shower. Tommy did my hair. I put some moisturizer on. I genuinely think that was
easy peasy.
I think that might have been. I don't think there's anything more. Put my suit on. Pretty simple.
Paracetamol, Harry Potter, church. No, because you practiced driving the car.
Yeah, in the morning I practiced driving the car with your dad.
Yeah, we had I want to say it's a 1963 Morris Minor, white, soft top.
Yeah.
It was a very pretty little car. I loved that car and they dropped it off the night before. And my dad's very good with classic cars. So he took Ollie out for a spin in the morning. So because Ollie's dad was driving me to the church in it and also driving back. So he needed to kind of brief Oz on how to, what's that thing? Like double clutch, whatever?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
I think so.
You did it anyway. Okay, simple morning for you. Mine was, I go into more detail on things anyway, but first thing I did, got up, ran to the window to check the weather because obviously it's the one thing you can't control. And as much as I'd said, I'm fine, like Ross, like I'm fine with it being rainy and I had preemptively ordered 10 beautiful white umbrellas with wooden handles just in case and checked that they look good in pictures. And maybe that's what made it not rain. Yeah. Anyway, it was a beautiful day, really balmy. Went very early to get breakfast with the bridesmaids and then came back and it was straight into hair and makeup for everybody and steaming. Well, this is a good tip. Don't steam your dresses anywhere near where you're having your hair done because that can sort of, it creates a level of humidity that is not conducive to the looks you sort of want or might not be anyway. But it was a very nice chilled time getting ready. And we sort of bumbled along, had some champagne, took pictures. Everybody was chatting. It was just a really, really gorgeous vibe that morning. But what I didn't realize is that we were running half an hour late. And I'd actually planned this to precision with so many time buffers. And I created a call sheet for everybody there. So I had no worries about me being late.
There's a picture, which I'm sure you can put on your... where, so, because the professional photographers obviously took it in, like when they sent us the pictures, it's in chronological order. And there's a picture of like me with my best men. And then the exact same time, there's a picture of Annie still getting ready and her dad looking very anxiously at his watch.
So this picture of Ollie and his best men is when they're at the church.
Yeah, we're at the church. Annie's still in her room getting ready and her dad's anxiously looking at the watch. And I think that's probably sums up what sort of time you turned up at the church?
Yeah, I was not even in the dress at that point. My hair was still sort of rolled, pin curled up at the front. But it meant that I didn't stress, at least. You did.
I knew you were coming. I didn't know when you were coming. I knew you were coming. I wasn't sure when you were coming.
There was video footage of you deep breathing at the front.
It was for the audience.
And then into the dress, a few photos, and then it was just me and my dad in the car. And actually, Ben Tyngate was our brilliant videographer, and he bundled himself into the back to get some really gorgeous shots of my dad driving me to the church. And we got married at Middleton Tyus, walked in, flanked or preceded by my 5 bridesmaids and Lando, my page boy, who was just gorgeous. Gave you a high five at the beginning. And then we walked through. I walked up the aisle and there you were.
There I was.
There you were. How did you feel at that moment in time?
It's a bit emotional, a bit teary. It's happy. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it, but I was very happy.
Aww. Then I threw the bouquet from the car once we'd done the kind of confetti tunnel outside the church.
And we're going to the wedding of Alex, who caught it in
Alex
Lisbon.
Caught the bouquet. Yes, that worked.
The wedding in Lisbon in June.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The confetti. I had.
Oh God, yeah.
I have to mention it. I spent a year doing it. I had systematically dried out various flowers that people had sent me, that we'd been sent for our engagement and for my birthday, and even sort of beauty events that I'd been to where people had sent me the flowers after because they knew I was drying flowers for the confetti. And I dried so much confetti that I now have reserves left for about 3 other weddings. So if anybody wants any, all dried up rose petals, let me know. Yeah, and then you drove us back after a few false starts in the car. Back to the reception area, which was the Fig House. We had our look at all the decorations inside while everybody else, my dad had organised this beautiful vintage Yorkshire bus to ferry guests to and from the church to the reception area in the same colours as the car. So they were dropped off at the other end of the walled garden and they walked in and saw the Fig House from that end, and there were immediately servers there with coupe champagne glasses handing out champagne. And then it was beautiful, and we kind of milled around mingling with guests for a while. We had the amazing Vicky Adamson and her husband doing our photos, and they had said, we'd said, oh, do you need us for photos at this point? And they said, no, this is the point where you really should be sort of milling around with your guests and enjoying seeing them. We'll do some sort of setup shots later. And we kept the posed shots to a minimum, I think. We probably did about 3 or 4, and then everything else was candid, which was really nice. And then wedding breakfast, amazing speeches. I actually did a speech, but I forgot to write it down. So I was kind of really worried. I only remembered that I'd forgotten to write it down or even revisit this idea of a speech that I'd had for months. And it was very much then, okay, I either back out, tell our amazing coordinator, Rhiannon, that we go straight to my dad, or I wing it. And I had my first glass of bubbles at that point and was like, okay, I'm just going to wing it, and then very much did. And then, then what happened? Then amazing wedding breakfast, beautiful food provided by Middleton Lodge, dancing, first dance, which was to Eric Clapton's You Look Wonderful Tonight, but the Royal Live at the Albert Hall version, which then faded into High Love, Whitney Houston, Kygo mashup, which was amazing. And we did a sparkler tunnel. And then, I did my outfit change and even more dancing. And then you have to describe the moment that you have sort of pretty much nearly wept over when we watch video reruns of it, and told me the first time you saw that video rerun that it was actually the best part of the day.
So I had my two best men on the day. So I had Jonathan and Kit, who had just done a lovely speech, and Hugo was as I said at the beginning, at another wedding. So we'd had our first dance, we'd got changed, we were just having a dance, and music changed. And as I looked up, Hugo had arrived. So he had come from
Nottinghamshire, I think.
From another wedding and arrived. I had my three best men there. It meant the world to me. And it was amazing.
Yeah, so basically, I'd been told about 10 minutes before Hugo was due to arrive with Abby, his wife, by Dirk, the best man. And he said, keep Holly distracted. We've talked to the DJ. He's going to enter at this side. So I was twirling you around so that you didn't spot sort of Hugo fumbling his way through the door. And then you got the full kind of effect, which you did. And we've got this amazing video of him walking in. And it's when Don't Stop Believing comes on over the speakers, and everybody, because Hugo had done this speech via sort of a pre-recorded video link, everybody knew who he was and that he couldn't be there. And so people who'd never met him before were giving him big hugs and cheering, and then everybody was just kind of swaying away to Don't Stop Believing. It was really amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah,
and I'll happily hand over that as the best moment of the day.
Yeah, I think there were a lot of amazing moments. That was amazing. I liked
marrying me.
I like marrying you. That was perfect for the day. But I liked that I got to have three best men in the end. So I had Jonathan, Kit, and Hugo. I did. I had about three stag dudes as well.
Oh God!
So I mean, there was a request from Jonathan earlier on to mention the stag dudes on him.
Well, there you go.
I mean, there are a lot of amazing moments. Seeing you in the church, yeah, Hugo arriving. Just the whole day from start to finish, there wasn't anything that was, everything was amazing. Yeah, it couldn't have been better.
I know. And people had said, oh, it is the best day of your life. And I'd find that really hard to believe because, well, I don't know. That's a big thing to say, isn't it? But it was. I just think it's so, you realise how rare it is to have everybody that you love in one place at the exact same moment in a very happy situation. And I think that's what really makes it.
So I don't know if I need to ask the next question, but would you have done anything different looking back?
Would I have done anything different? I would have tried to be on time. I wouldn't do that differently. I would have checked the time when I was getting ready.
No, it's quite nice just having just like the two best men there, so having Jonathan and Kit, and just having sort of a bit of time for them. It's a story as well. Yeah, and I obviously knew you were coming. I wasn't worried that you wouldn't come. It was just, I think being there, and maybe it got a bit much for people sort of sat around, but I think...
What, you deep breathing at the front of the
act? Honestly, I think it was, I don't know, if you'd been exactly on time, it would have been great, but there wasn't anything sort of bad about you being a bit late. I don't think there's anything
I love that your dad forgot, well, he didn't forget his tie.
Yeah, dad came out to me, and all of the ushers and best men had the same tie, and my brother as well, who's one of the ushers, and my dad came out to me and he was like, oh, where's my tie? And I was like, sorry, what do you mean? And he was like, have you got my tie? And I was like, I don't have a tie for you. You don't have a tie. Nick, Annie's dad, doesn't have the same tie either. And he was like, oh, I thought you said you had a tie for me. And I said, well, no. And then this threw my mum into a slight level of hysteria. But luckily, Rupert saved the day.
My cousin. Who's
Annie's cousin. And he had about three or four ties he could lend to my dad. So I quite like the open collar look. I think it looked quite good.
And the eventual tie looked really nice as well, I have to say.
Yeah, it all worked out.
That's another story. And shout out to Eddie Gigi, who did the same thing, forgot his tie, but didn't have a Rupert to call on for a spare one. And so fashioned a cravat out of his pocket square. It looked very, very fancy, I have to say.
Indeed. What did your beauty prep involve?
Oh, what did didn't your beauty involve?
Prep involve in the lead up to the wedding?
So much. What did it involve? Okay, let me think back. Well, obviously, lashes by Eddie were a must. Oh my goodness. Facials. I actually visited the Neuris clinic, the incredible Dr. Anita Sternum there, and had a full skin consultation. So they do a full scan of your skin. I'd actually been really lucky because during lockdown I'd had a derm appointment because my skin had been kind of reacting to sort of on a hormonal level. I was getting a few breakouts and they weren't going away, and they'd put me on a really good solid skincare routine that I had stuck to, you know, to down to the letter, and it had really transformed my skin. So my skin was actually in a decent state. Dr. Anita basically said, let's do more of the same. Let's not rock the boat. Let's not change anything drastically in the lead up if it's suiting your skin, but let's try and improve on what we've got with some facials. And I had, I think they're called the Reset facials. I will clarify in show notes, but the most incredible facials, which basically involved lying in on a bed in the Nurse Clinic in a full lymphatic drainage suit, whilst one of the specialists there was, I think it was a sort of part hydrofacial, part masks, part peel. A lot was going on, but it was all tailored to what my skin was doing. So nothing was too harsh because I have quite sensitive skin. And there was a lot of lymphatic drainage massage techniques in there to depuff because I'm prone to a bit of water retention. And that was incredible. So I really, really rate those. Skincare wise, they didn't change loads at all because, like I said, it was doing what it was supposed to do. And I had the incredible Iram Shelton doing my nails on the day. She actually traveled over the day before the wedding and gave me the most beautiful modern take on a micro French manicure, with sort of pearl-esque tips. They're quite iridescent. I loved those. What else? Oh, and I had the most amazing schedule with Connor at 22 Training, the personal training space owned by, founded by Dalton Wong. And it's incredible. I think it's the attention to detail training that I love there. And I think that was it. You're so interested in that, aren't you?
I can't think. I mean,
did you do anything? Did you do any beauty stuff in the lead up? Your scent and your haircuts. Oh my god, no, you did, because you had a hen do and you went and got a mani pedi.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jess, Hannah, Ellie. I think mani pedi is good going for you.
Yeah, that's good.
Soften up those mitts.
Where did you go on your honeymoon?
Where didn't we go? We were really lucky. We obviously were up north in Yorkshire, so we had a couple of nights in the Cotswolds straight after the wedding. So my dad had to be on hand to basically stuff the boot full with all the stuff we weren't taking on honeymoon and take it back home to my room at their place. Yeah, we went, had a couple of nights in the Cotswolds, then we headed off to Mauritius for a week, and then we flew to Italy, and we went to Capri for a few days, and then to Amalfi for a few days, and headed back, and it was gorgeous.
What was your favourite part?
Oof. Well, the sunset boat rides in Mauritius were amazing when they brought out the champagne and things. I think that's when it really felt like a honeymoon. Mm. I love Capri. I have a real, real solid love for Capri. So that was always going to be a highlight. But
the hotel we stayed at was unreal.
Yeah, the Capri Palace. That was incredible. And I'd never actually been to Amalfi. You had?
I went to a wedding in Amalfi quite a few years ago.
And you loved it then, didn't you?
Absolutely loved it. Pete and Aziz's wedding. And we stayed at, where did we stay in? Hotel Santa Caterina.
We did, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And it was incredible.
That was it?
Where were we at in Mauritius? Heritage.
Heritage La Telfa, which I loved, which I'd been to before on a press trip. That was,
yeah.
And so it was really nice to revisit.
It was the perfect balance, because I think 2 weeks in any of those places would have been a bit much, but I think we needed the sort of the split between having a bit of beach, having a bit of city. Yeah, it was amazing. Absolutely loved it. And just the perfect way to round off the wedding and everything that came after it. So yeah, it's incredible. How do you feel now when you look back on our wedding?
Like it was yesterday.
Nah, it feels like a long time ago.
Does it?
Yeah.
No, it feels so like
close to hand for me. Got quite a few like scratches and etches in my wedding ring.
Okay.
Maybe cut that out. Sounds a bit weird. But no, it's not like as shiny as it was.
Your wedding ring's nice and weathered.
Yeah. Yeah, worn weathered. In. Let's go for that.
Yeah. In a good way.
Yeah. I haven't lost it yet. It's always good.
I just, do you know why it feels close at hand? Is because we've had a really, we've been drip fed all the kind of the photos and the disposable cameras and the video after. I think maybe that's why.
Mm.
Because I felt like it's continued. Yeah, it still feels really close at hand to me.
We're pretty much bang on
6 months.
6 months, yeah.
Madness.
Yeah,
what's the first anniversary? Paper.
Paper?
Book. Get me a nice book.
I got you a book.
What book?
On the wedding day.
Oh, yeah, you did. He also got me, made this beautiful album of loads of pictures. God, I think you'd reached out to my bridesmaids and asked them for pictures that they thought should be featured with them, and they've all got a page in there. So it's still to fill out. But that is obviously a wedding day present. It's not our first anniversary present.
That was a preemptive first anniversary present. So I'll wait for the second anniversary.
No.
Is this, do you have to get me something then as well?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Final question.
Go on.
If you had a friend who was planning their own wedding, what top tip would you give them?
Oh, I ask this question a lot, and it's actually quite a hard one to answer, isn't it? Well, I think I've said this in another episode, but choose suppliers that you admire so much that you would really hand over control to them on, you know, that you wouldn't micromanage, because that just takes so much off your plate and makes it such an enjoyable process. Like I felt, yeah, I was not stressed at all on the day. I was very chilled because I knew everybody would deliver sort of far and above what I would have expected or certainly could have done myself.
I think mine was choose a best man who understands how a diary works.
Oh my God, such a dick. Poor Hugo. He gave you the best part of your wedding day, apparently. I noticed you're not contradicting me this whole way through.
Carry on, as you were.
I think that's it. But don't change anything major about your skincare in the lead up. If it's working well, don't underestimate scent with your wedding. Or maybe that's just me. I love, it's such a part of the atmosphere for me. Equally, I probably wouldn't have, I mean, each to your own, but I probably wouldn't have scented candles at the table because I just don't like scent while you're eating. What about you?
I think we did it pretty well. Bite to the right people. I mean,
don't invite the wrong people.
Yeah, no, I mean, got round. Like, it's the two of your day. There's always going to be some drama that pops up. And
what was our drama?
There wasn't in our case, but you hear about other people having drama and stuff. But
George actually put it really well. George Driver, who I interviewed for, I think, episode 2, she said there's always going to be the odd, oh, well, moment. And it's just, those are the moments that you have to just go, oh, well, and walk away.
Yeah, I just think it's our day with all our friends. The point of it is to have a happy day with all your friends. So try not to focus on the, if anything goes wrong, because it's usually uncontrollable. You want to try and make it the best day you can. So just focus on the good stuff. Talk to everyone you want to talk to. Have a great day. And yeah.
And I always also say, try to step away from the feeling of that you're hosting. Because I think as soon as you take on that mantle, then it becomes a very stressful process. And it's not that anybody else is hosting, but as if you kind of concentrate on feeling like the venue or the coordinator or somebody else is hosting you and you're the honored guest or you're a guest, then it becomes so much more enjoyable. You relieve yourself of so much pressure. You're not gazing around thinking, oh, so-and-so's on their own, I should be talking to them.
Actually, I got some advice from my best man. One of them was from Kit, who was just saying, this is your chance to tell all the people you love what you think about the person you're getting married to, which I think I did.
Yeah.
And then Dirk was like, Jonathan was just like, just take a step back and just sort of take it all in. It's the only, hopefully. time you're going to be in that position. So just take everything in. Mm. And I'm glad we got the video. I'm glad we got the photos. But there are a number of times where I just stood back, looked around and sort of appreciated how lucky we were. So yeah, I think we did all right.
Yeah, we did all right.
Yeah.
I think that's a good way to end it. Bye, guys. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for listening to Words on a Wedding.
If you like the episode, please subscribe if you haven't already, and follow at Words on a Wedding on Instagram, where you'll find guest wedding photos and much, much more. Have a great week.